Hey, this is Mike Woodard. I'm the senior pastor at Southwest Park Baptist Church in Abilene, Texas. We're excited about sharing our morning worship with you and the preaching ministry of our church. I hope that these messages will be informative, hope that they will be inspiring, hope that they will encourage you in your daily walk with Jesus. And as you listen, pray and allow the Spirit of God to speak to your heart and allow the Word to come to life in you.
If you have your Bible, Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. Beginning our reading in verse 39. When they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city of Nazareth. The child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover, and when he became 12, they went up there according to the custom of the feast, as they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents were unaware of it. But supposing him to be in the caravan, they went a day's journey and began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances, and when they didn't find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. Then they saw him, and they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way? Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth. And he continued in subjection to them. And his mother treasured all of these things in her heart. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Father, we pray that you would just guard your word today. That, Father, you would allow it to be amplified in such a way that it might address the needs of our hearts and that we might find some new encouragement, some new hope, some new motivation to be all that you purposed for us to be. For, Father, we recognize today growing up ain't easy. And that through all that life offers us in the way of challenge and opportunity and hardship, that the moments of growth do not always come easy, but the benefits of finding favor with you and those who are around us brings its rich reward. And Father, we give you thanks for it. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm certain that probably over the last several days, you've probably seen some folks who have grown up a little bit. And I imagine just out of a group this size that we can probably hear that resounding refrain. My, how in the world did you get so big? Matter of fact, some of you have heard that this morning. And, incidentally, we have to take your trophy away. Our dear sister has returned all the way from Europe to be in church today. And so, Sharon, we're glad you made it home. So, and I think it was more than two flights. So, you're out of the running. You have to come on a different day. But you can do it. Be strong. Be brave. You can get your trophy back someday. This is an incredible story. You know, Luke kind of abbreviates the story because we have this little problem because Matthew tells a little bit of the information about the story of the birth of the Christ child and all that took place during those days and months after the birth of the baby. And somehow we have to figure out how all of that fits together because sometimes if you read Luke 2 or you read Matthew 1, it's like reading a different story. But these are parts of the same. And it's not difficult to weave them together. Matter of fact, this happens in other places in Scripture. You remember in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul has his incredible encounter on the road to Damascus, and shortly after, he goes to Jerusalem. But it takes us all the way until he writes the little letter to the Galatians to remind us that he didn't get up and go immediately, but that there was a long passage of time and many things that took place in his preparation to go to Jerusalem. What took place in Matthew's gospel is a beautiful setup to what is going to happen when John begins to preach and he begins telling the story about all of the hostility that existed in that day and time around the birth of this baby who would one day be king, and the desire that Herod had to destroy that baby and to destroy all of the life that was necessary for him to be able to maintain his place or his seat of power. And so Luke kind of abbreviates all of that, and he lumps it all into one little verse, and the child continued to grow and become strong, increasing in wisdom and grace was upon him. Now, the word that's used here to describe this process that is taking place is a word that is helping us to understand that these things were part of a natural process. That this little Christ child, 100% God, but was also 100% man. And this little Christ child was going to have to grow up into the fullness of manhood and was going to have to go through all of the very same things that all of us have been through. And my soul, sometimes it ain't easy, right? And so now here we find the Christ child, all grown up, and his mother and father now having gone through all of the process of completing and satisfying all the requirements of the law. They had sacrificed the two turtle doves. They had taken him for circumcision. They had taken him to the temple to present him to the Lord. They had gone through all of the process of listening and submitting to the Lord's leadership and listening, even as angels spoke and gave them insight and direction and led them to Egypt and back. And all of these things that had taken place and all of these events where God was revealing himself through his law, and they had satisfied every one of those things, and now they head back to Nazareth. You know, perhaps maybe Mary and Joseph thought maybe it would be a good idea if they were to reside in Jerusalem, if they were to reside somewhere around Bethlehem and just stay there. But the word tells us that they heard that it was not going to be a safe place for them, and so they ventured back toward Galilee and ended up ultimately in Nazareth. Why would it be such a good idea for them to be close to Jerusalem? Because every year they would take that pilgrimage. And they would go and they would experience Passover in Jerusalem every year. Perhaps maybe they took Jesus and all the rest of the family along. Maybe not. Maybe they waited until his 12th birthday, right before Bar Mitzvah, and they took him there for that rite of passage where ultimately he was going to become a man. And they were there in the temple complex, and it came time for them to go home. They had satisfied once again all the requirements. They had done everything that was expected of them, and they began their journey home. And they went with all the family and all their friends, and they had traveled a full day and began to wonder, you know, I don't think Jesus made it back for dinner last night. Where in the world is he? And they began to look through the family and through all the friends, and then finally recognized that he was not in the caravan, and so they immediately went back toward Jerusalem. Now, it's kind of interesting because it's one day journey out, one day journey back, but it took 3 days for them to find him. And so, evidently, when they finally caught up with him, Jesus said, man, you've been looking for love in all the wrong places. I've been right here all the time. I have been in my Father's house. And here, Jesus shares some breaking news that he in fact is 100% man but 100% God. Joseph, I know that you're my father, but I must be in my father's house. And here, as Jesus begins to describe to us his process of growth, he is growing in two directions. He is growing in two different ways. And yet, we find in verse 52, the beautiful little verse that you memorized when you were a little guy, and Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. Well, here they were in the temple complex, and Jesus was helping to illustrate what is required for us to experience strength and wisdom. You know, wisdom is not just simply an accumulation of knowledge. You know, there are a lot of people that know a whole lot of stuff about a whole lot of things, and yet are not real wise with the information that they've accumulated. You see, wisdom is not just simply the accumulation of knowledge, but it's taking pains with that knowledge and sorting it out to try to discover what does this mean. And then ultimately, wisdom is the application of that knowledge, being able to take those things that we've learned and those things that we understand and being able to find ways to appropriate them or find ways to apply them in our life circumstance, in our life situation. And Jesus was busy about that. Now, our text gives us a little clue about how we can increase in wisdom. The first thing that we find Jesus doing is he's sitting there at the feet of these religious leaders. Now then, I want you to think about this for just a minute, because if he's sitting there listening to these people, you know, one of the first things that's coming out of their mouth, is this that little guy from Nazareth? I mean, where in the world did he pick that up? Because where was his instruction coming from? His instruction was coming from home. All the way up to age 12, his instruction was coming from home. His parents were imparting great truth into his life. And now, here's this little boy, Jesus, and he shows up, and he is listening to everything that they have to say. You know, one of the first things that is necessary for us to increase in wisdom is to learn how to listen. You know, there's a tremendous amount of information being disseminated. Matter of fact, they tell us that information, you know, at one time, you know, when some of you guys were little guys, information was doubling like every 1,000 years. Well, maybe some of you aren't that old, but but information was doubling at a much slower pace than it is today. And today, it's almost calculated not by days, but by hours. How much more information is available out there? But you see, it takes a wise person who's willing to sit down and listen. Listening is the beginnings of learning. And here we find Jesus taking that first step toward increasing in wisdom by sitting and listening. But the second part of that, he began to ask questions of them. And my, what questions he was asking. You know, one of my favorite professors in college said, my only objective this semester is to teach you guys how to ask questions. Because there is no way for us to expand. There's no way for us to be able to take the truth that we've heard and began to work on it and began to develop it, to begin to seek understanding, unless we begin to ask questions of the things that we know. He was asking questions. But then the third part of that is he demonstrated an incredible amount of understanding. Because what was he doing? In responding to them, he was sharing application. He was helping them to understand how these things apply. Now here these people are listening to this little young boy saying, where in the world did he come from? I mean, how in the world did he get here? And where are his parents? And when are they coming back to get him? And you know, they didn't get over that very easy, did they? Because 18 years later, these very same people are looking at this guy saying, man, he hasn't learned anything yet. He still thinks that God is big. And he still thinks all of these bizarre things about redemption and about salvation, about forgiveness, about what it means to experience life and what it means to become light in a dark world. And these very people that were listening to him back then are the very people that are going to ultimately lead him to a cross where he would die an innocent man on a criminal's cross. And yet, what was he doing in that moment as a little 12-year-old? He was preparing for the future by increasing, maintaining the process, continuing the work of developing wisdom. You know, James shares an interesting concept. He said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who freely gives. And all has God freely given to us. A revelation of himself in his Son. A revelation of himself, more specifically in his Word. A revelation of himself. He's given to us. The opportunity to get to know him and to identify his design on our lives, and to be able to recognize his purposes that he has intended for us to accomplish with our lives. He has made himself available to us to help us find wisdom through the truth. And being able to take that truth and find ways to impart it into our lives and find ways then to use it in application. And here Jesus is demonstrating to us what is required for us to increase in wisdom. And sometimes learning the hard lessons and sometimes discovering the incredible truths that God has for us is not always an easy process. And it maintains our sense of diligence. It requires us to maintain our focus and to maintain our concentration on the very one who is desiring to speak to us. And Jesus kept increasing in wisdom and in stature. The word here does not just simply indicate a physical kind of connection or stature, but it also is our position amongst others. You know, there's a phrase where we say sometimes he stands head and shoulders over his friends. It means that perhaps maybe his personality is bigger than life, or his accomplishments are beyond the norm. That his ability to be able to stand out in a crowd is remarkable. He continued to increase in wisdom and in stature. Not just a physical development, but a social development. And he was putting himself in a position to be seen. You know, this morning when you think about being able to appropriate some of the same kind of characteristics in your life so that perhaps maybe one day it can be said of you and you continue to increase in wisdom and in stature. It means that you protected your testimony, that you did everything that you could do to maintain your platform, that you did everything that you could do to allow your light to shine in such a way that others might be able to see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. It means that you took your light and you set it up on the little candle, on the candlestick. It means that you didn't hide it under a bushel, that you didn't blow it out, but instead you allowed your light to shine. You know, your stature is not necessarily how well you climbed the ladder and over whom you climbed to get there. But it is putting yourself in a place where your light can shine and the gospel is central to your existence. That the reality of the lostness of the world burdens your heart every day. And that the desire for you to be in the right place at the right time to share the right word with the right people is burden on your heart at all times. And Jesus continued to increase in wisdom and in stature, and ultimately finding right relationship with His Father and with those who are in the world. You know, one of the things that that we see about Jesus is that in His character and the way, in His demeanor and the way that He operated with people, there's a lot of grace and a lot of compassion and a lot of love that we see. But His message brought conflict and strife and difficulty. He had a hard lesson to carry that was not always heard with receptive ears. But He kept on loving, and He kept on giving, and He kept on sharing. He kept on protecting the gospel and the revelation of God. When those who should have heard it, and those who were capable of hearing it, and those who were in a position to really understand it, and they didn't, He demonstrates His frustration. Not over necessarily always their thick-headedness, but on occasion reminded them that they were kind of stiff-necked and really, really stubborn. But more importantly, His desire for them to get it, His longing for them to catch it, to understand it, to realize that the power of the gospel is salvation. And salvation is eternal life. And eternal life is in a place that He is preparing for us. And the burden of His heart so strong. And so here we discover this incredible tension that exists between our responsibility to God and our responsibility to others. And where did it start for this poor little 12-year-old? It started at home. When mom and dad finally catch up with him and said, "Why are you doing this to us? Why are you creating this anxiety that we've been through? Why are you creating this sense of desperation that we feel today? Why are you doing this to us?" Jesus said, "Man, I got a problem here. I have to do what my Heavenly Father wants me to do." And what does the next verse say? "And He got in the wagon and He went to Nazareth. And He subjected Himself to His mother and father." You know, the lessons of submission are hard. The lessons of putting ourselves in that place of recognizing that we are not in control. That realization that there is someone who is giving us marching orders. There is someone who is speaking to us about our future. There is someone that has plans and purposes for us to accomplish, who longs to replace our feeble dreams with His incredible, magnificent plans. That one who wants to show us things that we can never comprehend, things that we could never fully understand without His indwelling Spirit within us. And Jesus demonstrated for us at age 12 the solution, and that is to learn submission. And Jesus went back to Nazareth. Now, there are a lot of stories that were written about Jesus' childhood that are not recorded in the canonized scripture. And the reason that most of them are not recorded in the canonized scripture is just because of the nature of the stories that are told about Him. About Him doing really, really cool magic things because of His awesome power. But one of the things I think that we can pick up from the scripture here is that Jesus was not one to exert his strength and his power and his deity for the acclaim or accolades that might come to him as a result of it. But he very humbly and very quietly and very cautiously exercised his power in response to submission to God. You know, this morning, when you think about your life, and again, we find Mary again pondering these things in her heart. And last week we talked a little bit about pondering and the necessity to maybe spend a little more time pondering than we are accustomed to. But you know, one of the things that you might kind of ponder on today is to think about how well you're doing in submission to the Lord. Starting at home, starting in a workplace where perhaps maybe the authorities there and the people who are in charge, and they don't typify or exemplify the things of God or the ways of God, but still your boss. And again, it ain't easy growing up, but perhaps they're there to help teach you the hard lessons of submission. It's authorities around you who make the rules, and sometimes you don't like the rules, and sometimes you wish the rules didn't exist, and certainly are fully aware that they don't apply to you, but they're still the rules. And perhaps maybe it's another one of those places where God is teaching you the hard lesson of submission. Perhaps maybe in home where there's mutual submission taking place in relationship. And sometimes it's not easy, and sometimes it's challenging, it's difficult, and yet perhaps maybe it's one of those places where God is allowing you the opportunity to learn some of the hard lessons of submission. Because you see, each and every one of those opportunities and each and every one of those circumstances is a training ground to learn how to submit yourself to God. And Jesus, back on the bus, and he went back to Nazareth. So what does all that say to us today? Well, growing up takes time. And it doesn't happen overnight, just as it did not happen overnight for our Lord. That there's always going to be this tension that exists between doing what God wants you to do and learning how to live in this world. And yet this world sometimes is one of the places where God allows you to experience some of His refining fire. And it's in this world and in the relationships that exist in this world that God gives you opportunity to navigate with grace and with compassion. It is in this place that God is at work helping you to understand that the ultimate need of your life is to be able to experience His indwelling Spirit and to be able to know His presence and to be able to recognize that wherever you are, He is. And you're never alone. And that following Him is the most incredible thing in all the world to find favor and to find peace with God and with men. You remember Moses was talking to the Lord, Exodus chapter 33, and he said, "Lord, how will we know that we have your favor unless you go with us?" Moses expressing his insecurities about being able to acknowledge and to recognize the favor of the Lord. And he said, how are we going to know that we have your favor unless you go with us? Unless you reveal yourself, unless you show yourself. How are we going to know that we have your favor? And God said to Moses, "Because I am always with you. And I'm going to allow you to experience my glory. You may not see it the way that you wanted to see it, or you may not see it the way that you always dreamt that you would see it. You may not see it the way that you always expected to see it, but I'm going to show you my glory. I'm going to pass by, and with my hand, I'm going to hide your face until I've passed by. Then you'll see my back, and you're going to see my glory, because I want you to know that you have my favor." You know, there is something incredibly powerful spoken here by Dr. Luke when he just simply said those few words, and he continued to increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men. Now, this is the man, Jesus, who, as Peter reminds us, we've been given an opportunity to follow in his steps and to walk after him and learn to put wisdom to work. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Stand together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for the awesome demonstration of your gracious love toward us. Father, we thank you for the reality that you spoke, even to Moses, that you will be gracious to those whom you choose to be gracious, compassionate toward those whom you desire to show compassion. That whosoever believeth in the name that is above all names that when we find ourselves in your presence, we'll find ourselves in a place of humble submission. Again, realizing how unworthy and how incomplete we are, but so deeply thankful, so full of gratitude, and the fact that as we grew, you gave us the privilege to know. And the things that we knew, you gave us the opportunity to begin to understand. And the things that we understand, you gave us opportunity to apply. And the result was surrendered lives and yielded spirits and your gospel being delivered to the ends of the earth. Oh, Father, today we thank you for what is yet to come. But Lord, today, help encourage and inspire us to continue the process that you started with us at birth as we entered this journey called life. Lord, help us to recognize it's never too late to learn. We're never too old to experience. And there's never a point nor time in our life that we can't find new ways to share our love with you and our love with others. Father, today, help us to apply your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Perhaps you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ with your life. Today is a good day. Confess your sin to him. He longs to forgive and to draw you into a relationship with him that will last forever. And this morning, his gift of eternal life is waiting for you to receive. Today, perhaps, maybe is the day that you say yes to him. Today is the day that you say, Lord Jesus, come dwell in me. When there was no room in the inn for a little baby, there is room in my life for you. When the world didn't want to receive you and those who you came rejected you, today I turn my heart to you and receive you. Today, maybe for the very first time, you could say, Lord Jesus, come dwell in me. Perhaps maybe you're here this morning and there's a burden on your heart that needs to be left at this altar. This altar is not just for kids, it's for all. And this morning, perhaps maybe there's a burden on your heart. This is a great place to leave that burden. This morning, perhaps maybe God is speaking to you about your future, about your life. And this morning, maybe there's plans that are clearer now than they've ever been. Oh, this morning it's a good time to share that with someone. Maybe there's someone in this room you trust. It's a good time to share those kind of affirmations and those kinds of that sense of direction that God has given to you so that you might be accountable to his vision and accountable to his dreams being placed in your heart. This morning, perhaps you're here without a church home. God has led you to this place. We invite you to come and to be a part of this family. This morning, as God is speaking to your heart, right now, might you respond to him.